Okay, and we're live, Tangela. Take it away.
Okay. Welcome, everyone. We continue today becoming the Quantum Human Evolution, our one-day conference with Portal to Ascension and Soul Search. And we're just so excited to welcome our next guests here, Suzanne Ross, Melissa Fike, and Brandon Strabula, to talk about a very exciting topic in our Quantum Evolution Manifestation in the quantum field. And so, you know, this, you know, a lot of people, you know, reach out to us at Soul Search and they really want to know about manifestation. You know, what, you know, everyone wants to manifest the love in your life, manifest the new home, manifest health, wealth, abundance. So, you know, I'm really excited just to kind of go in deep with the three of you here about what that really means though. At the quantum level, in terms of we are now becoming quantum humans. So what does manifestation mean for each one of you? And where are we going? And what are some tools and tricks and techniques you guys have to offer? And for all of you who are watching on YouTube or Facebook, feel free to join us in the Zoom room if you want to ask a question. And for all of our audience members who are listening in the Zoom room and participating, we'd love for you guys to ask your questions as well. And so just to get started, I will introduce our wonderful panelists here, starting with Suzanne Ross. Suzanne is an amazing healer who has dedicated her life to the awakening and ascension of humanity through her books, her services, her TV network. She is the author of the Up Trilogy, Wake Up, Rise Up, and Lighten Up, and also the executive producer of SciSpy.tv. And she's also the creator and host of the annual Sedona Ascension Retreat, which we were just speaking about in our last panel, which will be happening in March. And I'm sure, you know, we'll bring up a little bit more information about Suzanne's Sedona Ascension Retreat, which is another huge community event that we'll be having, bringing together so many of our luminaries across the country. And we hope all of you guys who are watching can join us live in person in Sedona or via the live stream. So we're excited about that and welcome Suzanne.
Thank you, Tangela. I'm so delighted to be here today and delighted to be with my co-hosts, Melissa and Brandon. And I look forward to exploring manifestation in the quantum field.
Excellent, excellent. And then I'm also excited to welcome here Brandon Strabula, who is another one of our Sedona community leaders, and he is the founder of Organize, which is a powerful healing and transformational tool that he has been creating for over a decade now. And he brings the gift of being able to share EMF and 5G protection with the world. The magic of each device is in the mixture of over 50 different crystals with you know, many different beneficial frequencies. And he is really, you know, bringing forth these transformational energetic tools for people to really, you know, improve their lives in so many ways and bring forth manifestation in many different ways as well. And so welcome, Brandon, to today's panel.
Thank you so much for having me. So excited to be talking about this subject. It's something I think we all need to be talking more about.
Excellent. Great. And we have Melissa Fike here, who is a best-selling author and channel, and she is a master in Akashic Records, the best-selling author of A Radical Approach to the Akashic Records, Master Your Life, Raise Your Vibration, and founder of the Spiritual Expansion Academy. And she has many different activating ascension classes, intuitive development certification, and Akashic Records certification, amongst many other courses that she leads, as well as an upcoming retreat here in Sedona as well that we'll be hearing about. So welcome, Melissa.
My gosh, I'm here with such geniuses. I feel really privileged and grateful for this moment. And everyone watching, just really get your pen and paper because you'll want to take notes.
Wonderful. Well, this is exciting because, you know, we are here with three real practitioners and manifestors. All three of you are manifestors. And so you're speaking from experience, not just saying, oh, you know, just saying, this is something that I read and this is what I recommend you guys do. So, you know, let's get started. I'd love for you, Suzanne, just to jump in and just chat, you know, say anything more about yourself that you'd like to introduce. And, you know, what, you know, why is manifestation such an important topic? And what is manifestation in the quantum field?
Thank you for asking that. As I started to tune in to this topic, what really came through for me is the importance of surrendering to the divine will. Surrendering to the divine will and declaring that you are in service to the divine will with the full self-realization that you are the divine and that the divine will is manifesting through you, that the divine is creating through you as you. And so as you open to and align with the divine will and surrender to it in service to the highest good for all, and then follow your intuition and have faith that that which manifests before you is manifesting for your highest good. Because manifestation has to occur from the highest perspective of your highest self, because our little will, even though we think we may want certain things, those things may not always be in our best interest or in the best interest of others. And so tuning into our highest self, surrendering to the divine will, having faith in that which unfolds before you as being for your highest good, is all about having faith in the divine plan. Once you surrender to the divine will, oftentimes you find that you're actually walking in divine synchronicity, and those people, places, and things that are in alignment with your divine mission naturally start to appear before you. And before you know it, that which is in alignment with your divine mission is manifesting miraculously before you. It's also moving in miracle-mindedness, right? And believing that that which will manifest for you in alignment with your divine mission will miraculously unfold. Believing that you have the power to manifest as you surrender to the divine will. So I hope that all makes sense. It felt very important to know that we need to be creating in alignment with the divine will. And so it's really tuning in intuitively and then following your intuition. I didn't manifest the books that I have written. I declared my selfless service to the divine will, and I heard a voice say out loud, you will write a 30-day book on the evolution of consciousness, right? I don't manifest the events. I hear this guidance guiding me to create events. And as I surrender to that and open to that, then all of these people who are meant to co-create the event with me, the speakers who are meant to present on stage with me, seem to fall into place perfectly. And then before you know it, all of these people are signing up for the events who are meant to be there. But I'm always keeping faith in the divine plan, even with that, that those who show up at the event are those who are meant to be here, right? And so, you know, that sort of takes the stress and pressure off of course, we're doing everything in the practical realm to make these things happen. Of course, I rent a venue and I get food vendors and all of these practical things that are required for my book. I get a publisher, I write the manuscript and submit it. But the core of it, the key to it, is surrendering to the divine will and serving that divine will, so that you can align with your divine mission. And then just in miracle-mindedness, watch the manifestations unfold miraculously.
Powerful. Thank you. Yeah.
Yes.
Tuning in intuitively and letting that divine service unfold from you. You're truly a channel for that. So
yes, thank you for that. And later on in the discussion, I'll get into, you know, mechanics of intentional manifestation, but I felt it was important to start with serving the divine will.
Beautiful. Thank you. Brandon, so what would you like to say about, you know, this topic of manifestation and manifestation in the quantum field and what that means for you?
Gosh, it's a big question. I've just been thinking about it nonstop for all week pretty much. And it's actually something me and my fiance were talking about today was, I mean, we really do manifest everything in our lives, whether we are aware of it or not. We're manifesting everything in our lives for reasons. And the sooner we recognize those reasons, usually the sooner we learn those lessons and the sooner we get to graduate to the next lesson. And that's one thing I've learned through my progression is that manifesting of those lessons never stops. And now it can get easier as you start going through those lessons and realize there's an easy way to learn lessons and there's a hard way to learn lessons. And I think that's something in my manifesting I've learned quite a bit about. And I mean, even moving to Sedona, that was my first year was insane. I moved here on my birthday a few months after I moved here. It's like I wrote the book Dancing Beyond Cancer, but I came to Sedona wanting to master my emotions. And all of a sudden on my birthday, my late wife appears and we end up meeting on my birthday a few weeks later. We decided to get married. And the day we decided to get married was the day she was diagnosed with cancer. So, I mean, I look at that experience and everything that happened in the next 6 months after that was just this wild experience of learning and growth and experiencing all my emotions in ways that I had never experienced them before. And the fact that I was able to experience them when I was tired, when I was exhausted, when I got to have all of these experiences, I realized, wow, I still have a lot of growth that needs to be had here. And that's, I think, been the mission ever since, is how to master those emotions so that I have control over my emotions versus being out of control of my emotions. And I've noticed with manifesting, it's like we really do manifest those lessons to help ourselves grow more. And that's all in the divine plan. And I felt with Susan's talking about just how the divine works through us, it's like those lessons can become easier. And I've noticed since I went through that experience, my lessons are far less traumatic and I don't need to go through such a traumatic experience to get that wake-up call. But it did take that wake-up call during that experience for the universe to say, hey, you need to look at this. And I was like, you're right, I do. And that's where I pray. It's like the manifesting stops being so hard when you start looking and saying, hey, I'm manifesting this. What is it trying to teach me? What am I here to learn? And then you get to start manifesting more of what you want versus all of these things that the universe saying, here, you need this right now before you can have all the things you really want. And that's, you really should learn this. And that's what I feel it is. It's like, you want this? Well, learn this. If you want this, well, then you need to learn this too. Until you learn this, you can't really understand why. And then it's like, but now after having everything, and that's what I realized, I had it all, lost it all, but now I have such a better appreciation and strengthen myself that now the universe is like, okay, now you're ready for what you really wanted. And here's exactly what you wanted, but you had to go through that to get here. And that was, I think, my big lesson in manifesting is like, realize the lessons that are coming to you right now are gifts and everything's being given to you right now is a gift. And the sooner you see the gift in that awfulness, the sooner you get to expand past it. And that's what this ascension, this quantum, and the quantumness of it is like the universe says, you want that? Here's this crazy way to do it. And you're like, what? How could I even fathom that being something that would manifest into my reality that would bring me such growth and would be the biggest change in my life? And manifesting and realizing we do manifest it, and we have to be careful what we wish for. And then if we're not ready to go learn those lessons, we shouldn't be wishing for those things. And the universe says, here you go until you're ready. And that's where I feel a lot of people are running into blockages right now with manifesting, is not recognizing that those lessons are there to get you what you want. It's like, make a wish upon a star. Here you go. Here's what you need to get there. And that's, I think, I'll probably leave it on that. Just what I feel is the biggest thing for my manifesting, getting to that next level, is recognizing the universe is giving you those lessons to help you manifest everything you want. And then once you move into these spaces and just go with the flow of the universe says, here you go, there you go, you can do it. And that's what I feel those lessons are here to teach us, is to learn to let us that flow go through us. And the more you practice it, the better you get at it.
I feel that so much in alignment kind of with what I was saying, Brandon, and I really love it, how it's like having faith in the divine plan, that which is manifesting before you is for your highest good, even though it might not seem like it at the time, right? And yep. So having that trust in the divine plan's unfoldment for you, teaching you the lessons you need to learn, and mm-hmm. manifesting that which is in your best interest, or, you know, teaching you those traits that you still need to develop in yourself, or testing you somewhat, you know, sort of period of examinations to see, you know, how are you interacting with that situation now? How are you reacting to it? Are you taking the high road? Are you evolving? You know, are you increasing your love light frequency through that which is being presented to you?
Yep.
Right.
All exactly. It's all of that. It's all of that. And for each person, it's different. That's the cool part.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for that.
I think both of you it really went so well together. And Brandon, I also loved what you said about really experiencing the emotions, you know, mm-hmm. in order to get into alignment, to get us into the alignment of the divine will of source. So it's like, we can't, you know, feeling is healing. And by allowing us to really feel the emotions of what is happening, you know, but knowing that it's not happening to us, it's happening for us, then allows us to like really move through and then jump into that higher timeline where we are, mm-hmm. Where we're not choosing and reacting from that place of habit, but we're jumping into the higher timeline of our higher self of love.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, very powerful. Thank you. And of course, Melissa, let's hear what you would like to say about manifestation in the quantum field and what that means for you.
So, yeah, I mean, I agree with everyone that everybody has already mentioned. And I do practice surrender, and that really has helped me as well. And the motions, knowing that. I also find that in the quantum, that quantum energy, we're always creating from that space, because that is the ultimate oneness. That is the energy of pure potential. What has happened is we are more aware of that in our consciousness, because now science has found it. Look, we've known this for thousands and thousands of years, but now we have something that makes sense to us in a deeper way than just some esoteric understanding. So we have this quantum energy, which is always creating. Quantum is always creating, and expanding. And we're part of that we're not separate from that energy. So I always look at us as creators. And what we do is we manifest in the physical realm, manifest a pen. So when we're manifesting, we are bringing it into the reality of our experience, right? So we can have these idyllic, beautiful scenes and what we want to create and everything else. And to allow that to bring its frequency into our awareness and to create it onto this plane of existence, we have to go through some emotional stuff. We have to understand what we're pushing away and what we're allowing in. And in the quantum, it's not like, Suzanne, you're, because you wear pink, you get everything. And I know, because I'm not wearing pink, you know, it's not like that. It's not a who gets what. it's always available to us and it's always there, but it's harder to recognize it because we live in such a duality experience. So that's what I think a lot of people don't understand of the creating on the quantum, is that they are bringing it slowly down in vibration. And as you're working through the vibration of it, sometimes it hits some of your samskaras or your issues or your past karmic patterns or your pain, like, you know, and then when, as you work through it, like Brandon and Suzanne said, as you work through it, it brings more availability to that. So when we are creating on the quantum, it's not a thing that you do, it's a thing that you are being. You are being the energy of creation. And when you're looking at the quantum, don't worry about, like, is this happening the way I want it to happen? You want to be okay. And that surrender energy of, I trust higher consciousness. I trust my own higher consciousness. I trust my own inner knowing. And I trust the universe. So notice I put it to self first and then to the universe. Because that's where we always mess up if we don't allow it through self. And then I'm like, okay, I trust you all more than I trust my egoic self. So I'll let you figure this out for me. And I do, I surrender as well. And I think that's really important. Every moment you're creating your next moment, there isn't a time that you're not creating. The thing is that we are here for growth and we are here to experience the divine at the same time. So that's where, you know, both Suzanne, she was like, oh, it's all about the divine. And then, you know, Brandon was talking about how, you know, there's a lot of like humanness in this. And that is where, when you manifest from the quantum, you can actually utilize both or marry them or connect them together so that you're manifesting not just from the quantum in this etheric realm, but also understanding that you're human and that you're going to go through ebbs and waves through your creation experience. So.
Thank you, Melissa. Beautiful. Yes, every moment we are creating. I love that because it's true. We are the creators of our reality, and we are creating in every moment. And we can choose. We choose in each moment. Are we going to create in the highest of our timelines, or are we going to, you know, be reacting? So I love that. I love bridging all this together. And I see Neil joining us, our wonderful co-host. And do you want to jump in and say a few words about what manifestation in the quantum field means for you?
Yes, I would. I left, but didn't think I wanted to. And then I was like, wait a second, I really want to come. So I ran back upstairs, ate my food real quick, and now I'm here. And, you know, I wanted to bring some of the science in on it, actually. So the whole concept is that, you know, there's the quantum world, right? And there's the Newtonian world. These are labels that we put upon them. The Newtonian world being anything atom and above, the quantum world being anything below an atom. Unfortunately, a lot of these things end up getting hijacked and then used for different agendas. So let's just say quantum physics isn't a part of the standard community of physics, but it's just the exploration of everything subatomic, right? So in the quantum world, you know, I want to just basically, this is my only share for this panel. I want to just split it into four pieces real quick. There's four things I want to speak about here. Non-locality, the double slit experiment, quantum computing, and ET technology, right? So non-locality being the understanding, and this ties into quantum computing, that all data and information in one area within space can be accessed from any other point within space, right? This, we are now being able to do this, actually achieve this, extracting data. So what does that kind of seem like? It seems like almost like this is a holographic, very advanced coding, if you will, in which the data and the information is everywhere all the time. Therefore, you can extract that data at any point. You know, and if you talk about ETs and the way they travel, and we've done a lot of events on different alien technology, Adam Apollo is great for that. One civilization, actually, they just choose a location in space-time dematerialize and rematerialize somewhere else. And it's almost like transcending the matrix of this illusion and realizing it. And, you know, even the movie The Matrix is kind of like bending space-time from that. So non-locality, all information available. And then quantum computing. Quantum computing is doing things that would take hundreds of years that a regular standard computer to do within a split second, but was able to tap into the quantum world and do advanced calculations that regular computers can't do. Interesting part is that there is no real definition of how it's being done. They just know it's actually happening. So a lot of these things within the laboratories are actually occurring. Quantum computing, there is no real like science behind, whoa, exactly what is happening. We just know that it's using non-locality on some level, able to access data information. And then the ET tech, this all connects. So when the whole disclosure recently came out with Lou Elizondo, you know, like 4 or 5 years ago, which is a whole other subject, when they came out and they started saying that a lot of this technology are doing things that we cannot do on Earth, right? That quickly changed within a few months. And then the interviews actually stopped becoming that. And they started saying, well, actually, this technology that we're witnessing is doing something that we're able to do on a quantum level that we know is possible, but we're not advanced enough to get to the state where we're able to instantly dematerialize, move from one point to another point. So the same, so saying that it's not possible is not really, we're not really the right answer, but saying that it's able to achieve something that we've only done in the laboratory, but it's able to do, we're 1,000 years away from it, right? So this is all quantum worlds. You know, this is what I'm trying to show here is that this quantum world is a program that we're able to stop becoming the victims to and being the victim of the programming, but then start actually becoming the creators of the code. And it's almost like that we are in, we're in a stage, we're all actors in a stage, but we all forgot we're actors. And now we're all remembering that we're acting upon the stage and we're able to act more consciously. You know, just the last share here is the double slit experiment. You know, does if a tree falls in the woods, does somebody hear it? Well, not if it's a quantum tree, you know, which is interesting because everything is made out of quantum energy. So what they showed there is that observation with intention creates an outcome. The simple act of our own intention on something actually makes it manifest and do something different than it would if we were ignoring it completely, right? So what does all this mean? This means that we're in this very advanced matrix system that we're able to maneuver within, and we just need to really realize that we can do it. So that to me is the premise of the quantum manifestation.
Thank you for that, Neil. So much of what you said, I so relate to, especially that double slit experiment and experientially understanding how you are collapsing the waves into form as you move through your reality. And when you can grasp the levity of that, then you can consciously collapse the waves into the forms you wish to experience or into the reality you wish to unfold before you. I teach a masterclass called the Virtuality Masterclass, and it's part of my Transcendence Guide certification course. This Virtuality Masterclass is all about that we as our source self are literally like a gamer who is mentally projecting this mental construct called space-time, right? And projecting holographic fractals of itself into different space-time timelines and dimensions, right? And so there is a game that has been written in code that we are in effect being played in, playing in. And when we can turn around and we can look at the source self, who is the one projecting us as the avatar in this game, and say, I wish to serve the highest will. I wish to intentionally co-write this script with you, right? And so now you are writing your own program. You are co-creating this movie or co-producing this movie that's being projected through you with the one who is projecting you, because it's all you, Right. And on the note of these, you know, codes and all of this intelligence, this infinite intelligence that we have access to, that we can retrieve faster than the speed of light, right? We can intuitively tune into that higher intelligence to guide us in creating or writing a script that serves the highest good for all, that serves the ascension of humanity, right? And so tuning in to that higher intelligence allows us to serve at the highest possible level. And I also believe that these codes are coming through the divine portal of the sun through which divine consciousness flows, right? And so on these solar rays or coronal mass ejections, these supercharged encoded photons of light are being transmitted with the effect of activating dormant DNA codes. If we are open to receive that, right? And so I look to the sun and I say, you know, I am in service to the highest good of all. How may I serve? Please download me with these advanced codes of creation so that I can serve the highest good for all, with full awareness that I'm fully participating in this game, right? And able to be part of writing the program for it.
No, that's great. Thank you. I'm like, I honestly feel the double slit experiment shows it perfectly. It's like when you observe it, it goes straight. But when you don't, it creates the wave formula. And I feel like, yeah, we're collapsing that wave formula when we have this expectation. And I think it's literally scientifically proving what's the concept of letting go of expectation. I think that proves it right there. You have to let go of those expectations to actually manifest in a wave form the infinite possibilities of what the universe can throw at us. And it's like you start using those super photons and manifesting with that, you can manifest whatever you want. But you can't have almost a desired outcome. You have to be like, this is what I'm looking for, but this is how I manifest it. And that's one of the things that I want to throw with quantum manifesting is I find like the English language is probably the most, it cripples us basically for manifesting good things. It supercharges things that are very negative. So when you want to manifest sickness and illness, those words are supercharged so well for sickness and illness. But when you want to manifest abundance and prosperity, I've found that's like the most struggling thing in the world to try to do that with the English language. However, I came across that Hebrew, Sanskrit, Egyptian, and Aramaic were higher vibrational languages. And since I switched to using those languages to manifest in, I'm actually getting more of that quantum manifesting versus what I feel is that slit, that English language is putting you in this like single line that you're observing it and it's so small, so tight, it's so limiting. But when you switch to, I mean, shalom is peace, prosperity, all these abundance, and shanti is peace and abundance and all these things. It's like om shanti, om shalom. It's all the same sounds, even in Sanskrit. The poem for prosperity that my friend had all the same sounds of the words I was using in Hebrew. So I'm finding, but what it didn't have was like the itties and the prosperity and the abundance or abundance. And it's just, there's those words, those vibrations carry with us. And like, you can manifest quantumly with sound and vibration. And there was the word. It's like, that's the power. We're casting spells with our vibrations. And if you use a limiting vibration like English, it's going to be a lot harder than if you go look up something in Sanskrit, Hebrew, or Aramaic even, and manifest in those sounds, those ancient sounds, the tones that they use. It's like, we don't use those tones. Shalom. It's like you just don't get those grunts and those sounds, and that's how you manifest. Like that's changed my life more than the organite, more than dancing, more than anything, was switching to Hebrew rather than English. If you want to manifest in English, you're fighting a huge uphill battle. If you want to manifest. That's why the light languages, I'm even fans of those, because it's like, now you're using stuff that's not within our realm. So you're manifesting in, I think, a wave versus a single line. And the double slit is proving that that's how we manifest infiniteness. And how do we do that? Well, to each one, I think it's going to be a different progress of understanding that creation. But yeah, it's different for each person. Thank you.
I love that you mentioned that. When I look into the sun, I say, Om Ahum Vajra Guru Pidma Sidhihum over and over again. And it's like, that is what's compelling this transmission of the higher codes, is that Sanskrit language, but yes, also Hebrew. And I have Aramaic symbols all over my room, Aramaic symbols and the writing from the Torah. And that's Hebrew, right?
Yeah, I have shalom like in my room. It's like, it's everywhere. If you look anywhere, it's, I'm getting subconsciously reprogrammed to those frequencies and vibrations. And that's what it takes, is you need to surround yourself with it, engulf yourself in it, if you really want to reprogram some of these old programs that are limiting us. And that's the thing, is we're manifesting some of these limiting programs versus overriding it with a more powerful program that says, I don't care what your limiting program is. We're going to manifest this. And that's, I think, a power in manifesting now with some of these languages, is like that, or just putting that much intention into it. The more intention, that more power, the quicker it manifests.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree 100%. You know, as you're saying this, I'm having a realization of these languages that you're speaking about been around for thousands of years. English, as we know it, is more of a current occurrence. And these languages that have been around for a long time, definitely Sanskrit, which became, you know, which is connected to Hindi, and a lot of the Hindi words are the exact same as Sanskrit. They didn't even change, right? We're at a time where our level of consciousness was at a much higher state, right? So, and it was also the introduction of language, introduction of writing at that point, because before, I mean, we could have been actually telepathic. And then when we were devolving, we started coming up with words, writing, pictures, and all this stuff. So it makes sense that the languages that came right after the telepathic age would be the ones that are most connected to source, right? And then we kind of devolved, and the one that took over right now is a product of the times, the age that we're in, right? And as we're going back up, so it's all good, right? It was the age that we're in. We've been there. We've had that darkness experience. Now we're bringing these back. So you're making me realize, because for a long time as an Indian, when I first woke up, I'm like, wait a second. Why is all this stuff that I was raised with everywhere? You know, I became spiritual. And then I was like, how come all these people aren't Indian? And they're doing this stuff. And I looked at my own family and my own people, and they were following things so blindly without the realization of the frequency. It just became ritualistic, you know? So it's really taking away it being just ritualistic and contractual, because so many times it becomes contractual. If I do this mantra, you give me this. That's what Hinduism has become, you know? And now we're taking back and realizing that we are the writers of that contract, right? And through these frequencies and sounds, we can manifest, you know, whatever world that we want.
Well, just like Brandon said, I am the word. Sorry, Tangela.
Go ahead.
It's like, in the beginning, right? There was the word. In the beginning was the word. And it was the word that created things and beings, right? And so when we're wondering how to manifest, we manifest with the word, with these sacred languages. Yes.
Exactly. And I love what you said, Brandon, about manifestation without expectation, you know, because that is, you know, I feel a really powerful key to manifestation is letting go of that expectation that I know what needs to happen next. And letting that divine will and source really flow through and allow that manifestation to unfold. And when we use these powerful ancient languages, you know, the mysticism of sound that exists within each intonation, like you said, in shalom, you know, and in all these Sanskrit words, you know, you are speaking in these reverberations beyond the confines of what you know when we say something in the English language, which we've been raised in. So it's like really releasing that expectation as we, you know, as we're moving forth in that manifestation. We're actually releasing that expectation when we move into those ancient sounds, because it's far beyond. We're letting the sounds unfold the power of what they are. rather than just saying, I know what this means and I know what's going to happen next.
So, Paul Selig is going to be at my event, and something that Paul Selig has channeled through the Melchizedeks in all of these books that he's written is to say, I am the Word. I know who I am. I know what I am, and I know how I serve. I am the Word. I know who I am. I know what I am, and I know how I serve. And it is without labels. It's not, I know who I am, Suzanne, author, speaker. No, I know who I am, an emanation of the divine. I know what I am, the embodiment of the divine, and I know how I serve the divine will. I am the Word. Right? Melissa, what do you think about all this?
I actually had a channeling. It was a personal channeling very recently about, I've been asking a lot about the mental mind and the alchemy of oneness and the alchemy understanding of, you know, the mental. And because I said, everybody talks about the Word and this thought process of creation. And I, every time I would hear that from people, I always feel like there's a beat skipped because there's something that's missing in that for me. And I've been asking a lot about this. And I recently was brought up to the, what I see as the quantum. And then from the quantum, how I see it is the 0 point field. So right from the quantum is the 0 point. And from the 0 point, everything is created. Now that's the way that they've shown it to me and what makes sense in my own mind. I'm sure it's, even if somebody explains it differently or uses different language, it's probably similar. And what they said was, it's not about, you think it's the, you know, mental is words or mental is thinking, but mental is structure. So when we are manifesting in the quantum, it's the possibilities, like anything's possible up here. And then as soon as it moves through the 0 point energy and it starts to become more of in our universe, more there, it becomes a structure. And when it becomes a structure, then it has more availability as we move down in frequency. And that's just to what I saw with, because I've been asking, you know, you speak that this is all about mental, but people think it's thoughts, that mental means thoughts. Mental means structure. And as we're manifesting, when we manifest through the planes of existence, so we're, and I always see it that the first plane closest to us, or the, it, well, it comes through mental and then emotional and the physical plane. In the mental plane, it's not the verb, the I manifest this or the word. It's the structure that starts to unwind through the energy field. That may seem a little esoteric, but that's just what I heard. I'm still unpacking that, but that really helped me because I was like, I like that need and that understanding of structure, because remember, structure is a very masculine frequency. And when we are manifesting through emotion, right, that's a very feminine frequency. So we're manifesting through emotion and structure of the groundedness of the masculine, then we're able to create differently because we're using both energies as a creative source. And I definitely love non-locality. I know Neil left, but there's, I affect you even if you're in Egypt, if we are connected in some way, because time and space doesn't matter. And that's what the quantum has shown us in the vacuum, that no matter where it is, it can affect something else. And Candace Pert also proved that with her work with plants, that its non-locality is everything's affected by the other. So that's the consciousness. We're all affected by the consciousness, which is why, and I'll leave you with this, why it's really important to comprehend what consciousness, what collective consciousness are you hooking into? So if you hook into the collective consciousness of lack, of not enough, of fear, and you're hooking into that collective consciousness, you're bringing it into your energy field. But so if you're in that space, go, oh, wait a minute. I'm going to disengage from that collective consciousness. What's the collective consciousness that sits more in your heart space is love, oneness, and all the juicy stuff.
You know what a lot of the ancient texts and even modern channeled texts call us are thought forms, right? We're thought forms, and everything that's structure is a thought form. It's all thought forms, right? And so I love that you brought the structure in as mental manifestation. I'd like to explore the idea that it isn't, it's not that it isn't thought and it's just structure, like it's thought form. What if it's thought form, right? And all of the things in reality, all structures are all thought forms. And that's why we can manifest. You know, when we come to the, you know, level of just saying manifestation, okay, most people just think, well, I want to manifest a crystal obelisk in my hand that wasn't there before. And now I think about it and there it is, right? When people think about manifesting, sometimes I think that that's what, you know, we're talking about. And not that we maybe couldn't do that when we reach a higher dimensional plane, but the thought forms that we are experiencing every moment of every day as we move through our reality are being projected from our minds as holographic projections of thought forms. Right. And I also love, Melissa, that you brought up emotion, because emotion is the energy that puts any manifestation into motion. And so when our, you know, desired outcomes are charged with that emotion, it sets the energy in motion for that manifestation. Well, thank you. I love everything that you said. It was really profound. Beautiful.
No, it's amazing listening to you guys. It's powerful when we're manifesting these days. I mean, I'm finding that, yeah, as we create, I mean, however we visualize the manifesting coming in or coming through us, I'm sure there's plenty of people who visualize it in many different ways, but it's, I think even that visualization part is a big aspect of creating that form. And it's like creating that more we practice. I mean, that's with my manifesting something. I mean, I swear, I can't even tell you how many times I chose the tarot card and I opened the book, and right on that page for that book was like Shakti Gawain's creative manifestation book. And it was just like, and finally I went and got it. And it's using that level of manifestation creatively. And that's even some of the stuff with like Russian magic and creating stuff. It's so much creativity involved in it. It's like cast spells on yourself and for the benefit of all. And that's, people are so like, oh, spells. It's like, well, spelling, it's like, we're casting spells when we say words, whether we know it or not. And if you cast it for the highest intention of all and the highest intention of yourself, good things start coming back. And that's what I find, is it's putting it out there and allowing whatever comes back to come back without the expectation that it needs to come from here. Well, I gave them money. It's like, well, that's great. You're probably going to get it from over here. They're not going to ever pay you back. It was a nice thing you did over here. But if you just expect that the universe will pay you back, it's going to come from another source that you didn't expect. And it's, and that's one of those things of modifying your expectations with the world. If you want to manifest what you really want to manifest, the way you want it to manifest, the universe might just say, no, here's your lesson to learn why that's not going to work. And I'm going to keep giving you that lesson until you learn why that way doesn't work. And that's why try ways that manifest, listen to people that have tried ways of manifesting. And that's why I love listening and being part of these groups, is you learn how experts manifest. It's like, maybe you're not even there yet. Like, wow, the way that they talk, but you need to be able to talk the way that Susan's talking about manifesting her ascension retreat. If you're not talking that way, or the way that Melissa talks about the way she visualizes in her books and all of that, it's, if you're not talking that way to yourself, you're not going to manifest everything you want. And that's what I'm finding, is we have to identify those programs which are limiting us. And I think that's one of the biggest things that people don't look at when they're like, well, I'm trying to manifest this, but I'm trying to manifest $1 million, but I spend all day thinking about how broke I am. It's like, oh, that's, and I've done that. I've been there. I feel you. It's like, I have so much sympathy there, because I spent all day thinking about how I couldn't afford things, or how my bills, these and that. And I spent so much of my day thinking about how I couldn't afford things. I was not manifesting abundance. But then when I started programming with Shalom and just saying that I'm going to manifest with this new program, it just overrode everything. It's like, there's so little power in some of these programs that we have. But if we don't identify them and we allow them to keep running the show, then we keep reinforcing that program and building ourselves deeper until the universe says, are you done yet? Are you going to reprogram? Are you going to redo this? Are you going to relook at this? I'm like, everybody in your life says this about you. When are you going to say that you're an angry person, Brandon? And I'm like, well, I had to wait till my late wife and dad sat me down on a couch, and while my late wife was in hospice, and said, Brandon, you're angry. And I'm like, you're right, I'm angry at a lot of things, even though I'm happy 95% of the time. That 5% that I was angry, I was really angry. And it's like, it wasn't bad to feel that, but if I let myself sit in that emotion for too long, or not fully experience that emotion, I was not helping myself or helping the people around me. And that was what my lesson was like, well, that's toxic energy for other people. So you need to learn, here's your lesson. And it's like, that's sometimes what the universe is trying to tell us, is you want to manifest getting past all of these problems with your family, with this, with that. You need to look at this and you'll resolve those issues. And that's what I think the universe is trying to provide us, and saying, here's that opportunity. And it's like, since I've been through it, it's like, okay, now I'm glad I'm where I'm at, because I'm not going through those lessons that were like, oh, this is really hard stuff. It's really dense stuff. And that's what it is. We're ascending. We're going into that quantum realm. And if you're manifesting in too much density, you're not in that quantum field. You're not manifesting from that field. And as you move up in vibration, the infinite amount of possibilities that your consciousness allows in expands. So it's like, oh, I want to manifest $1 million. Then years down the road, you're like, oh, I could manifest $1 million, whether I'm not even thinking about it anymore. It's like, that's where we're moving into. It's like, you could just make it appear on the table, but we're not there yet. How do you get there? Working on yourself, identifying limiting programs, and then putting new programs in that are of those higher vibrations. And I mean, Neil, that was one thing he said, was the Native American language, and that is huge. They don't even say certain names, like complete Harry Potter Voldemort style. They don't say we don't say his name. That's how the Native American culture is with words. They don't say certain energies, because you invoke that spirit, and you start seeing these names in movies and TV and our words. And it's, I mean, right now, everyone's going to their work week and looking forward to their weekend. And I don't want to work week, and I don't want to be weakened. So why is everyone looking forward to that? It's like, we don't understand what we're manifesting sometimes, even with our language. And that's something I think that's getting a lot more attention these days, is just manifesting with language. It's like, there's so much power there. But I'll stop there.
And what are you wishing to manifest? It feels important to look at that, right? Like, just talking about $1 million, and I know you're just using that as an example.
Yeah.
But I think what has really been found in it, what comes to mind is Lynn McTaggart and the books that she wrote about intention and the intention experiment. And then she did this program of getting people together around the world to project an intention for something to happen, like for the crime rate to drop in a high crime area. And lo and behold, the next day the report would be that yes, that crime rate had dropped, right? And then suddenly the people in the group were experiencing prosperity like never before. Another thing the group did is they prayed for other people to get well. They might have chosen someone dying in a hospital and saying, if it's possible, if it's in the highest interest of this person to heal, please let's pray for healing for this person. And they prayed for healing for someone else. And everyone in the group had higher health and well-being, had more health and vitality. So you see, you pray for someone else's good fortune, and good fortune becomes you, right? It's our good fortune comes to you, and you pray for someone else to heal and you experience healing. Isn't that the heart-centered, soul-inspired type of manifestation that we really want to be doing?
Yes.
Right.
Oh, definitely. That's the higher vibrational manifesting for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, because we're all in this together. And this is what happens with those types of experiments. Yes, the crime rate goes down, but then it goes right back up again, because they're not focusing the energy on that anymore. And which is, you know, it has to be a collective understanding that we all have to make these shifts. And it's great to focus your energy. But what's happening in these groups, like you're saying, like Lynn McTaggart, what she's doing is, she's bringing the group together. So now we're all manifesting the same thing. It's a bigger power source behind it. One of the things I kind of wanted to give everyone is a tool, if you don't mind, Tangela. One of the tools that
I'd love for you guys to shift into that. That's perfect. So thank you.
Yeah. We need to talk about tools. Like, I love tools. So I like to share tools all the time. Some of the tools that I like to use, one of the things that most people don't think about when they're manifesting is clearing your own energy field. And the reason is because we're holding on to frequencies that may not be thought forms get accumulated around people's energy fields. So one tool before you kind of go into, like Brandon said, maybe your visualization or your toning work or how you manifest, clear your own energy, just see any thought forms lifting away around your head, and then just seeing white light, just clear out any lower negative energies, just to get clear first. And then the other part, a few other tools that I like to share with people. One is to look at your life as a, what have you created? Most of the time, people could list everything that has been crappy in their life. But what they have difficulty listing are all the miracles, all the amazing things, all the things that they were like, whoops, did it. They forget those, because those lower, you know, difficult times are easier to understand and to like get connected to. So celebrate your win. Know what you've done in the past. And then ask yourself, what did that feel like when I received that? And so that's one part, like just, you know, just start jotting down, like as a fun game for the next week. I'm going to just ask myself, what did I manifest between the ages of 0 and 5? Maybe you had a really crappy childhood, and maybe it's a little harder, but there's one thing you could probably figure out, 5 to 10, 10 to 15 or 20, right? So just look at your life. Like, what have I created that was a win or a whoop? That's what I like to say. And then the second part is to feel that feeling. Like, what did that feel like? And be present in that, because the feeling is what you create. And gratitude, of course, is another huge tool. One of the fun games of gratitude is to look at your life and go, I'm going to find three things that I'm grateful for every single day. So what starts happening is you start thinking about, what am I grateful for? Where am I putting my thoughts? Where am I putting my energy? And if you're putting it into, the other day I dropped my computer for the second time and I went, okay, whatever's going on here, I'm going to acknowledge that. And I'm grateful that my computer is just the beautiful, amazing thing that it is. So I wasn't like upset that I, well, for a second I was upset, but after that, I was like, before I even opened, I was like, I trust that it's all, you know, like, I love you just the way you are and whatever's supposed to be. And I just let it, I surrendered it. And then I knew that it'd be fine because I was grateful for my computer and all the amazing thing it's done for me, instead of pulling in the negative that I could have pulled in that. And then the third or fourth, wherever I am on my list, is working on looking at your life through giving and receiving. Most amazing lightworkers, starseeds, spiritual people, they're awesome. Giving is amazing. They're amazing at it. Like, that is their gift because they love to give. And they're not always as available to receive. So actually, years ago, I channeled this divine love meditation. You can find it on my website. And that is all about giving and receiving. So I just want you to ask yourself, like, what does it feel like to receive from oneness, from the divine? Because if you can allow yourself to receive from that space, you have more availability to receive. But most people, and I'm not saying everyone, most people are conditioned to either reject receiving, or they're conditioned to just give. Like, what can I do for you to make you happy so I feel safe in my environment because I had a crappy childhood or a difficult experience or whatever that was? So if you do want to, the divine love meditation is very, very powerful, but it's all about like giving and receiving. And that is really a big key that people don't talk about a lot in this work. It's a tool, because one of your biggest tools is to receive and to surrender into receiving.
Beautiful. I'd be delighted to share a tool that has worked well for me over the years. And that is definitely like vision boards. I've been amazed at vision boards that I created years ago. And then I pull them out and it's like, whoa, wow. Like, I've achieved everything that I put on my board. It's all manifest, you know, but it's all what serves the awakening and ascension of humanity, right? Books, events, TV network, right? It's all about, inspired by Lynn's experiments, praying every day for the alleviation of the suffering of all. It's always praying for others rather than praying for what I want. And then I watch what I want miraculously appear before me. And so what, you know, Melissa was saying about giving and receiving, it's quite miraculous how when you open your heart and pray for the highest good for all, yourself included, then you just watch, right, as everything miraculously manifests around you. And that which manifests around you is in alignment with your divine mission, which is always to serve the highest good for all, right? So vision boards are a powerful tool. And yes, you might be able to manifest a new red car if that's what you really want. But if you want to co-create with your higher guides, if you want to energetically create in the universe the highest frequency of love and light, I invite you to pray for the alleviation of suffering, for health and wellness for all, for prosperity and abundance for all, in equality, unity. Pray for peace and harmony. Thank you.
Thank you both. Those are awesome, awesome recommendations. I'm like, personally, something that I know has worked for me, and actually me and my fiance just recently redid ours, because every year I put a piece of paper with my New Year's goal or the new goals for the year. And honestly, I mean, one of mine was for the Chinese New Year. So you can do it on January 22nd if you missed the first of this year, or you can do it right now. It doesn't really, really matter when you start it. The point is you just start it. But we wrote down, and it was the same thing, for the benefit of all and the highest good of all involved, I manifest these things. And then you write down what you want, and it's for the good and the highest good of all involved. And that was one of the aspects that I felt very important to manifesting, is you want it for the highest good of all, and you want to be thinking of others in all things that you're doing. And the more you think of that, the more you, I think, are rewarded for that giving of your energy to others. And that's the essence of giving. And I feel receiving is that constant giving. If you're always thinking like, I don't just want $1 million at the expense of everybody, I want $1 million to help everybody thrive. And that's the other aspect of why do you want it? What is the intention? What do you want to do with it? I want to help so many more people. And that's one of those aspects that I feel we in manifesting in the spiritual community have to always take a look at, is, are we feeling the need to feel impoverished because the yogis and the gurus were poor in the past? But the community supported those people to live that lifestyle and hold space. And I feel even something that's always felt good for manifesting is, I mean, we already have an entire homeless population, or people that live without housing, however you prefer to call it these days, since it's a trigger word for some people. But imagine if we as a community built centers where these people could meditate all day long, where they would be given food, water, and everything, and we had 10,000 homeless people or people without housing holding space for our community. We literally have the means to do it, and we could have the whatever the 7,000 person meditation effect that lowered all of those things and people holding space. It's just, we're not providing that to our world yet. And it's not, it's a yet. It's like, it's this close. I see it happening. We just have to put ourselves in a space where we think in grander terms than just ourselves. And when we start manifesting together, and I think that's the other aspect of manifesting, is writing those things down. And then I put them under my bed. So you're unconsciously in your field manifesting those things which you want to create. Now, when you start doing it with another person and they're helping manifest, and you're on the same page and you really understand what it is you're trying to manifest, you start manifesting at a whole nother level. And that's, I mean, I've been, like I said, testing this shalom thing for like 6-7 years now. And now I'm doing it with a partner, and I'm seeing the nuances of when we're aligned, things go boom. When we're disconnected and we're not manifest and we're not hitting that alignment, we don't manifest quite at the level when we're just boom. It's like, and it's crazy, some of the manifesting we've had with her dance projects and my dance, passion for dance. It's like, it's just this fire that just can't, it's unstoppable now. It's like turned into a supernova, and it's that manifesting power. But you need to manifest with people that are on the right alignment. And if people aren't there, some people are even wishing, even though they tell you, I want you to succeed, on a subconscious level, I really want them not to. I really want them to fail. And you got to make sure when you feel that in your gut that someone's sending you that energy, it's like, that's fine. Thank you for that opinion. You can keep it, and I'm going to go manifest without you. And recognize that not everybody wants the best for you, and that sometimes you have to go just do it, figure it out on your own. And then once you master it on your own, then the people in your lives that are going to help manifest it at the next level. Because if you don't know how to do it on your own, you're not going to get any better with doing it wrong with two people. You're going to get you're going to do it twice is wrong. And I think that's ruined a lot of friendships, because it's like, I wanted to manifest this. I wanted to manifest this. And then you talk about both people's visions and they're so different. It's like, well, of course you guys weren't going to manifest that. And you're going to go off in your separate ways. But it's like, when you are dialed in and you know what you want to create with another person or with other people, it just manifests. And I think you, Susan, probably experienced that a lot with your thing, because it's like, we all want to do this. So it manifests in so many unique, crazy ways, because you have all these people united in a goal. And that's something that I see more power and more coming together. How do we manifest all these things? We got to do it together. We can't do it separate. We have to be masters of ourselves so that we can be more of an assistance to the community, to the whole. And the more work we do on ourselves, the more we assist the whole in making those lessons easier, 100th monkey effect, manifesting. So the quicker we learn how to manifest, the quicker it is for everyone else to manifest. We have it hard right now because everyone else isn't doing it. But when more people start doing it, we're going to notice that we're going to start manifesting on a whole nother level too. It's like it's a push-up effect. Right now we're pulling everyone up, and eventually they're going to just push us right up through the rafters, where we are manifesting things on this planet that we can't even comprehend right now. That when we start realizing that potential of manifesting on this grander scale, this great awakening, this whole new level, this whole new earth, like that's the power I feel we have. And recognizing when people are in alignment and aren't in alignment is a big lesson for us right now, so that we can all get on the same page and learn how to communicate, learn how to share, learn how to know what you want and share that with others, so that they can either say, yeah, that's what I want, or no, that's not what I want. And if you can't express that, then they'll never know. And I think that's a big aspect of creating and bringing form to what your vision is. What is it that I want to create? I don't care how I get there, but this is what I need to create. And that's what we need to let go of, like saying the goal is over there on that wall. The wall is that goal. How do we get there? It's a wave, or it's a dot or a line. It can be a straight line or it can be a wave. And the wave, when you get a bunch of people, it creates a tsunami. And that wave is just insane. So I don't know. I'll leave it on that.
Love that. Let's create a tsunami of love, peace, and harmony.
Exactly. And we're doing it together. And that's, you know, I love that too. You know, so much of you touched upon that. You know, we talk about our personal manifestations, but then, you know, the manifestations for what we want to see in the planet and in our community, and really holding that intention together. And for each one of you, you know, experiencing that acceleration or personal manifestation also comes from, you know, really holding that intention for our global, you know, manifestation of abundance, of security, of safety, of ascension. And as we talk about our, you know, community and personal family here, I want to also bring in a question we have from Russ, who says, how do you begin to get in contact with higher beings? And I want to just ask that as a question to each of you. And what does that have to do with manifestation? Or nothing? Does that have anything to do with manifestation? Getting in contact with higher beings, and what is the role that the higher beings play for each one of you?
In meditation, I will go directly with intention into my higher self, my higher guides, seeking the higher intelligence and the higher guidance to give me the instructions for what I am being called to bring into manifestation. You see, and so you tune into the higher guidance, you tune into the guides and the ascended masters, or even ultra-terrestrial or extraterrestrial beings who are on your team, let's say, and open to receive the guidance that comes through them for you. And then you use that guidance to create, like boots on the ground here. to manifest that which will create the desired outcome for humanity, for yourself and for humanity.
Yeah, I'll answer as well.
I was like, go ahead, Melissa, sorry.
Contacting higher beings. First and foremost, there is nothing higher. Everything is just a vibration. And you don't say, oh, that vibration is better than this vibration. It's just like, you know, one dog isn't better than the other. They're just different. So they're not higher beings. The reason we call them higher is because we're in this like little spoon of humanness. And we think, oh, there's something that's there that I know is more of who I, like, sense of who I am. I believe that there is, I mean, I do know that there are all sorts of beings, you know, and I've talked to and experienced many of them, like Suzanne. When you start to want to connect your higher beings, and just exactly what Suzanne said, is start with your own higher consciousness. And the reason is because when you start opening up to that piece of you, then it allows those other beings to come through, because they are always filtered, at least the way I see it, they are always filtered through your higher consciousness anyway. And your availability to you is going to, it's going to help you trust more, because we look outside of ourselves. Well, if I get to know my guides, if I get to know my angels, then I will feel better, I'll feel safe, or I'll feel like I can create or manifest. There's nothing outside of you, nothing. Everything's already here. I know it sounds kind of woo-woo and like, that doesn't sound very concrete, Melissa. I get it, I agree with you. So what I would suggest is start clearing your energy. And I know I keep on talking about that, but that's what they keep on telling me to say. So I'm gonna keep saying it. Clear your energy and then go into your heart. Your ego gets in the way because it's talking up here in your head. When you go in your heart, you have more availability to your higher consciousness, to your higher self, and to guides, because your heart space is more available, and we come from more of a place of calmness in our heart and more peace and openness than we do from our head. So that would be the first thing I would say, is heart, higher self, and then allow your higher self to bring in the archangels or masters or, you know, the dog that you loved when you, you know, passed. But to me, that's a higher being.
Thank you. I actually, my dogs definitely come to me as well. I'm like, so those, actually one of my dogs is who I ask for blessings in my manifestations when I want to manifest. She was actually the first one that kind of started coming through to me, that appeared and was like, I started getting all these bear signs, and then found out that my dog had passed. And during that time, I was getting all these bear signs, and then I got all these bear signs afterwards. And it was like, and then she started appearing to me as a big white polar bear. And it was really weird just having that energy, but feeling her presence there. And it's really interesting because I pray to her now and helping manifest. And she, with another one of my guides, I make a prayer to them, and they help create my manifestation when I really feel. Because it's like I said, when you're united and you have other entities and energies encouraging us into that field, it's so much quicker. It works so much better. And that was one of the things that I think that I learned with manifesting, was I need to ask for help from my guides. Otherwise, they can't help. They need our permission. And the higher beings that are out for our benefit are working on permission. So if we don't ask for that permission, or ask for that help, or ask for that assistance, or ask for whatever it is that we want, it's like ask and ye shall receive, but don't ask and don't receive anything. So like, we really do need to ask for their help to get that guidance, to hold that extra space, and just to ask for help and ask for the highest good of all involved, and to hold that space and to say, I'm inviting beings that want to hold the highest good and the highest good of all involved to hold space, even if you don't know who they are yet. Like, just start asking. Like, those are one of those things. They're there. They're waiting. They'll introduce themselves when you're ready. And that's the thing that I learned was, like, I mean, I had an energy which I didn't even know who he was. And then all of a sudden somebody's like, this is who you are. And I was like, oh, that makes more sense with my guardian angel now, why I'm here doing these things. And now, wow, that makes a lot of sense. And that's where I find it's like the universe is going to give you those answers, but taking those small steps. And my first step was just like, hey, there's imaginary friends out there that aren't so imaginary. And that's even something I'm coming to terms with lately, is like, kids that grow up with imaginary friends, they may not be as imaginary, and they're manifesting this reality, this world. And you start creating this, I'm like, when kids can perceive that and they're playing with imaginary friends, they may be seeing things that we can't even perceive, because they're playing in a world that we can't comprehend anymore. It doesn't mean it doesn't exist. We're just not perceiving it anymore. And that's what I'm realizing. It's like, there's a lot to this quantum realm of creating. And if we can realize that there's other beings and energies and extraterrestrials and ultra-terrestrials and all those other things, they're there to help us. There's a lot more that want to help this universe grow than are trying to hurt us. And that's the other aspect we need to realize, is there's a lot more holding space for us out there than we realize. And when we ask for that help, we're inviting it down for more people than just ourselves. When we ask for them to help the benefit of all, they're helping the benefit of all. So the more we can work together with even our other higher energies, the quicker this happens too. And that's another part of manifesting that until you mentioned it, I'm like, I can't believe I didn't even think of mentioning this until now. But it's like, I have to ask for that help from my angels. So I encourage other people just to start asking for help, to start asking for their angels' names, to figure out what their angels are there for, to take all the steps. I mean, go to psychics, ask psychics, figure out, go to a couple. When the same ones give you the same answers, you'll be like, okay, yeah, they're my imaginary friends, not so imaginary anymore. And that's what happened to me, is like, I gave a gift to an imaginary friend, told no one about it. My friend told me about it. And I was like, either you can read my thoughts, or my imaginary friend really does like the gift that I gave them, or it's just all real. And I'm just like, or my imaginary friend's not imaginary. They really do like this. You really can read my thoughts. And either way, something weird just happened that you told me that I did something that I didn't tell anybody. It's one of those things where that was my awakening. And since then, it's been one thing after another, figuring out like, oh, wow, there's so much more to this world that we don't understand. And we're just starting to. And even as somebody who's been experienced this for over a decade, I feel like a child in this world, a child in manifesting. It's like, I put a decade into learning how to do this. I feel like I finally kind of got a grasp on it, maybe a little bit, and a long way to go. So I think that's what we all need to realize, is we all have a long way to go, but as we work together, it'll make it a lot easier.
I love all that. Thank you, Brandon, so, so much. I feel really compelled. So excuse me for interrupting, and I did. I just want to give everyone the understanding that there is an overall theme that everybody is talking about right now. And the theme is that we are not manifesting anything alone. We are all in this together. And even though you may have an individual desire or want something you want to create, we're all creating this together. And we are all manifesting. So as Brandon is talking, we're getting that connection, and we're allowing that, his wisdom, to help us manifest. And same with Suzanne and Tangela, right? So the theme is that you are not alone on this path, and you're not alone in your creations, and you're not alone in your manifesting, because we all are doing this together.
Thank you, Melissa, for saying that. I just want to say this has been such a powerful conversation about manifestation, because really, you know, we are all truly riding the wave of manifestation together. And that's what it is. It's a wave. It's one where we can let go of the expectations of what that wave is going to look like, but we can really enjoy that journey, knowing that we're so supported by our brothers and sisters here in all of the other realms. And when we can kind of relax into that support and knowing, you know what, I am so supported, I can also support others too. And I think that's such a big part of manifestation as well that we're really talking about here, is just, you know, moving beyond that old paradigm of, you know, have and have not, you know, of that scarcity mindset, that if you have something, that means I won't have. And it's no, like, you know, we are now, you know, we know that there is abundance for all, that we live in an unlimited universe. And so we can truly step into supporting one another in all of our creations and manifestations together. And that's what's creating this acceleration and ascension. And so I just want to thank each of you for being such a powerful presenter and sharing your tools and gifts with us. And, you know, just, I wanted to give each of you an opportunity to share a little bit about yourself, how people can get in contact with you, and some of the things that you're manifesting for all of us as well.
So thank Suzanne, you for that opportunity.